Today we're going to be looking at what many folks would consider a very familiar passage, but I also venture to say that you may call it a familiar passage, but if I were to ask you what the sixth commandment was, you probably couldn't tell me what the sixth one was. You might be able to go, one, two, three, four, oh, I think I got it. We claim familiarity with this passage. And there's a lot of things that people think about this passage, and I want to show you just briefly some things about the Ten Commandments. It's much more than Charlton Heston, much more than Charlton Heston. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you do need to go see that movie, because that movie has a wonderful, wonderful images that is very, very biblical. But let's, as we read this, let's think about these things. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You should not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, either you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The story is that the first set of Ten Commandments, I hope you realize there were two sets. The first set was actually written by God's finger on the tablets that Moses carried down the mountain. And when Moses saw that the people had gone off in the wrong direction, worshiping other gods, Moses threw those tablets down and broke them. Part of the midrash from the commentaries from the rabbis is that then those tablets were ground up along with the golden ox, and people were asked to drink them. And I've also heard another story that the tablets broke into enough pieces that everyone was able to have one piece, so that they knew that the first covenant established with God was broken, and they could carry it with them. Imagine what that would be like to carry around one of the pieces of the broken tablets. The second set, there's some question about that, but the second set, it appears that Moses was the one who wrote them on the tablets. And that second set went into the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant has been lost. There's some movies that tell us exactly what happened to the Ark of the Covenant. Raiders of the Lost Ark, maybe? I doubt it. It's not in some secret government warehouse stored away. I believe the Ark of the Covenant now is in the holy place with God. And one day it will descend from that holy place and we'll be able to see it again And inside the Ark of the Covenant is that second set of tablets, along with a jar of manna and Aaron's budding staff are in that Ark of the Covenant. And someday I think we'll get to see them. What a glorious day that will be. Until then, we have the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Some people will tell you that they're just suggestions of proper ways to live, and that's not true. They're commandments. They're commandments that set up borders and boundaries. One of the things that we learned, Deanne and I learned as we raised our three kids, is kids always want to know where the boundaries are. And they're always going to push the boundaries. That's their job as a teenager, to push the boundaries. That is their job. Why are they pushing the boundaries? It's not always because they want to rebel against what they've been taught. They're pushing the boundaries because they want to know that they're still loved. They want to know that that boundary is still there. That's a form of protection, a form of help. They want to know that. You know, the Ten Commandments are that kind of boundary. God says, here's the boundaries. And if you live within these boundaries, things will be much better for you. And yes, sometimes we push the boundaries as teenagers do, don't we? Well, if I could just, it's only a little white lie. You know what? A lie is a lie. I don't care what color you call it, it's still a lie, right? And it says what here? It says, thou shall not lie. It doesn't say, thou shall not do big lies. Okay? It says, thou shall not lie. These are not suggestions. They're commandments. And yes, there are some people that see the Ten Commandments as so much more than the rest of God's commandments. They look at the Ten Commandments and they say, if we just keep the Ten Commandments, we'll be fine and we'll be good and we don't have to worry about the rest of the Bible. They see these things as so much more. Oh, you broke one of the Ten Commandments. And they see it as so much more. Folks, that's not true. That's not true, and I want to show you why that's not true. Now, there are also those who believe that if we have a copy of the Ten Commandments and we post them up, that'll fix everything. If we post them up in the courtroom, that will fix everything. Does it? Does just having them posted on the wall in a church or in front of a courtroom or at a public place, does that fix everything? Not one bit, does it? Thousands of years ago, God said, thou shalt not murder. And that solved it all, and nobody's been murdered since, right? We've passed laws that say don't do that. We've passed laws that say don't covet, don't steal. We've passed laws that says don't do adultery. It's all been solved because of the laws we have, right? Not a bit of it. I'm sorry to tell you, just posting these on the wall is not going to solve the problem. Not that I'm against that. But I have met some people that have told me we've got to have that posted. And if we have that posted, then people can see it and they know what they're supposed to do and we won't have those kind of problems anymore. Hasn't solved that problem. You see, we've got to spend time looking at the Ten Commandments. One that I've stretched people's thinking on some is this idea of the Sabbath. This idea of the Sabbath in that God worked 6 days and took one day off. And yet we think we're better than that. We think we can work 7 days a week on end, and that we don't need to take a rest. And I acknowledge that, yes, there are some professions that can't take Sunday off. But you need to find a day of Sabbath. And then I think you need to take one more step. You need to make sure there's a day of Sabbath for other people too. You see, I've met those that, oh, I don't cook on Sunday. But they go to the restaurant and make somebody else cook. Make somebody else serve them. They go to the stores that are now open on Sunday, and they make people serve them there. What does the commandment say? It's a day of Sabbath not only for you, but for your daughter and son, for all of your animals, for all of those who work for you. It's also a day of Sabbath for all of the foreigners who live among you. You see, I think we need to be serious about this if we're going to be serious about the Ten Commandments. If we're going to be serious about them, then we need to make sure that other people can live by them too. Now, my Sabbath day is Friday. That's when I take my Sabbath. And 9 times out of 10, if you call me on Friday, I'm not going to answer the phone. Leave a message. If it's an important message, if it's somebody's in the hospital, somebody has just died, as soon as I listen to the message, I'll be right there. No doubt, I've done that for years. But if you want to ask me if such and such announcement is on the bulletin on Sunday, on Friday, I'm not going to call you back because it's my Sabbath. Is your Sabbath day that serious? You see, because I've come to understand, if I don't take a Sabbath, one, I'm saying I'm better than God, I don't need a Sabbath. And two, I find out physically there's something about not getting some rest and not taking it easy that affects the rest of the week. That's what it means to take Sabbath. You see, there were two tablets, right? That's what we all know, right? There were two tablets. I'm willing to say there was only 4 commandments on the first tablet, and there were 6 on the second. Now, for those of you that have OCD and want to put 5 on each, I don't think that's the way it was, okay? The first 4 commandments all deal with our relationship with God. They all deal with our relationship with God. Look at them. No other gods before me. No images. Taking a Sabbath day. They all deal with our relationship with God. Now that I've said that, do you see what the second 6 deal with? They all deal with our relationship with other people. Okay? No murder, no stealing. No lying, no coveting. Honor your father and your mother. See, I can't even stand here and name all 10 of them, because if you noticed, I've forgotten 2. One on the first command, one on the first tablet, and one on the second tablet. But they all deal with our relationship with God and our relationships with other people. Here's what I'm willing to say about the 10 Commandments. If we were able to keep each tablet, we would be able to keep all of the Word of God. Everything. Everything. If we were to keep each tablet, our relationship with God would be right. Our relationship with other people would be right. Do you see that? Matter of fact, when Jesus comes, you might say he simplifies it some. He quotes 2 scriptures from the Old Testament. One from Deuteronomy, chapter 4, and one from Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 19. Someone comes to him and asks him, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? And he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 4. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Ahad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he turns around and says, and the second commandment is like that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, doesn't that contain everything within God's word? Love God with everything that we have. Love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Because, by the way, if you can't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love your neighbor. Trust me on that one. If you can't love yourself, you're going to be so miserable that you can't love other people. You've got to love who God made you to be and who you are so that you can express love to other people. This is all confirmed by Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. I said the words, but I want to say them again. It reads in Matthew this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says this. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. For those of you that say that there's just too many commandments, just too many ordinances, there's just too many things that God asks us to do, I can't remember them all. I mean, read the book of Leviticus. There's plenty of them in there about if you find your neighbor's donkey, what you're supposed to do about it. Right now, I don't have any neighbors that have any donkeys, not to my knowledge. But does it apply if my neighbor has a dog? Does it apply if my neighbor has a cat? I wonder. But Jesus says, if you can keep these two commandments, you'll do everything that God asks you to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I almost never leave my house without saying those two commandments as I leave. If you come to my house, I've got a Jewish mezuzah which hangs on the door frame, both of our front door and the door going out of the garage. Inside that mezuzah, this little one's clay and another one's wood, inside that is the scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 4. And as I walk out, I touch it and I say, Shema Yisrael Adonai Elchenu Adonai Ahar. The only Hebrew I've got memorized. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And then I quote the two commandments that Jesus says. I had a Jewish lady come to our door one day wanting me to fill out a survey, and I don't do surveys because I never knew who these people are, no matter how many letters they supply or IDs they supply. I don't like doing that. She saw the mezuzah, and she said, why you got that on your door? And I said, well, I'm a Baptist pastor, and it's important to me. She said, wait a minute, you're Baptist, and you got a Jewish mezuzah on your door. Jesus says all the Ten Commandments, all the commandments of God, hang upon that one commandment of loving the Lord your God. And I want to be reminded of that as I leave the house, so that I don't forget that as I walk out of my house, not that I'm a different person inside the house, but as I walk out the house, I want to be reminded that everywhere I go, I should love the Lord my God. And people should be able to see that. Folks, are the Ten Commandments the most important thing in the Bible? No, all the commandments are. Here's what I ask you, though. Are you a living and breathing poster for the Ten Commandments? Are you a living and breathing poster? You know, I talked about that some people think it's just got to be posted on the wall. And if we post it on the wall, that'll solve everything. Here's what I believe. If each one of us is a living, breathing poster of the Ten Commandments, of the two greatest commandments, we don't need to post it anywhere. People will see what it means to love the Lord your God and to love other people if we live by them. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because sometimes this seems awful complicated for us. And time again, we make it more and more complicated. And sometimes, Lord, we even take your things and we make them as if we just had that, if we just displayed that. But Lord, what you're looking for us to do is to display all of the commandments in our lives so that people might see what it means to walk as a Christian. So Lord, help us not to make any difference in the commandments, but to live them fully and completely so that people might see living and breathing examples of what it means to be as your Son, Jesus Christ, in the midst of this world. In your name we pray. Amen. As the deacons come, it's an opportunity for you to examine your heart. It's an opportunity for you to take a moment. Scripture says that we should not approach this table without examining our hearts and seeing where we are. Where is your relationship with God right now? We're asked to come to this table to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. And that's why we celebrate this meal over and over again. Some churches do it every time they meet, because they don't want to forget what Jesus Christ has done for them. And this table oftentimes is here with the words in front of it that says, "Do this in remembrance of me." I want to give you a moment to search your heart, to go to God in prayer and see what's there and see what needs to have something done with it so that you can come closer to Jesus Christ as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, sometimes we come to this table and we're happy and joyous. Sometimes we come to this table and we partake and we don't think about the full, deep, and complete meaning of what this table means. It's a table to help us remember that Jesus Christ gave everything that we might live. So as we partake of the elements today, may we realize the great depth of love that you have for us, and the great depths that you were willing to go to restore a relationship with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture tells us that on the night when Jesus Christ was betrayed, as he was eating the Seder meal, the Passover meal with his disciples, he lifted the bread and he said, Lord, we thank you for the grain of the field, for the way it nourishes our body and the way it keeps us looking towards you for all that we need. And then Scripture says that he broke the bread. As he looked at his disciples, he used these words, this is my body, broken for you. Eat that you might live. And then it says, in the same way, he took the cup, one of four cups that night, this, the cup of blessing, the cup of redemption. And he raised it to heaven and said, God, we thank you for the juice. We thank you for the way it nourishes us. We thank you for the vines. We thank you that it keeps us looking towards you. And Scripture doesn't say it, but I always think that he held the cup low so that they could see and look inside the cup as he told them, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you. Drink that you might live. Let us pray. What a blessing it is, Lord, to be remembered in such a simple meal of a Christ who left heaven, lived here obedient to you, died upon the cross for us, and was resurrected. As we one day will be also, because we believe in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Help us throughout our whole lives to continue to remember what he has done for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.